You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Fantastic news now here on RNIB Connect Radio, as on the 27th of March 2025 at a ceremony in North Greenwich, Jane Manley, RNIB's social media analyst, was announced as one of the winners in the Top 20 Women in Data Awards 2025. The Top 20 Women in Data Awards recognises women who are tech leaders, innovative, different and pushing boundaries too. Jane was the only nominee from a charity and, being deafblind, the only disabled nominee too. And I'm delighted to say that Jane joins me now to tell me more about what it means to her and the RNIB on winning the Top 20 Women in Data Award. Hello, Jane. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio and congratulations on your Top 20 Women in Data Award.
Thank you, Toby. I'm still buzzing, as they say.
So firstly, Jane, would you tell me how you got into working in data and coding as a deafblind woman? How easy was it? And were there any sort of, I suppose, things that came up against you in getting into that career path in data and coding?
Well, I've always been interested in how people like Tesco know what to suggest to me. You know, that whole, if you like that, then you might like this routine. And how that all essentially translates into tracking my shopping behaviour. And how I can create change in their suggestions if I adopt, say, a healthy eating habit and drop the amount of chocolate I buy. And driven by that shopping data they get from me, obviously held on massive spreadsheets and databases somewhere, they stop offering me chocolate. And also from a work perspective, years ago, I was leading on things like class action insurance claims, catastrophic injury work, and all of that, again, required massive spreadsheets in Excel. And as a JAWS user, Excel has always made things really easy to manage because as a Microsoft thing, it's been accessible for years. And every year, it seems there's another improvement that they bring in. So particularly now in areas such as Visual Basic Code, I can write and edit my own specific code, effectively making my data world more efficient, less time consuming, and I'm more able to do the stuff that's really useful for me. And in terms of barriers, this means that it's not so much the tools to do the job, just that age-old issue around people's perceptions. So people think that Excel, for example, is complicated. They think it's too visual, and they just don't understand how someone with sight loss could and does make it work. So I suppose the answer is that it's convincing others, really, that Excel is such a usable piece of kit. That's the hardest part and the biggest barrier.
Jane, you were nominated for the Top 20 Women in Data Award by RNIB trustee Deborah Womack for the social media analysis work that you do here at the RNIB and also for the work that you did with the European Blind Union. Would you sort of briefly outline to me the type of work that you do here at the RNIB and the type of work that you did for the European World Blind Union?
Well, my world centres around listening to what the VI community is talking about at any given time on social media, and that's mainly Facebook. And I'm also interested in how they talk about it. So are we talking about our experiences of getting out and about using public transport? Have we had the right mobility training to get around or not? And so are these experiences the same, whether you're in the north or south of England or in one of the devolved nations? And my data gathering involves picking up themes like, I don't know, say public transport, noting whether some areas have great transport, helpful bus drivers, reliable routes and timetables that get you where you want to be when you want to be there, or is it the exact opposite? So you're stuck at home, you can't hunt for a job, you can't attend appointments, you can't meet your friends and family because, I don't know, the bus, for example, only runs on a Wednesday, starts at 10, and the last bus home from the town centre is at 2 o'clock. It's personal experience. That's what's happening in my area. But By noting these issues that come up in general conversation, it makes it possible for me to identify where and what the issues are and feed that summarised, anonymised information back to policy and campaigns or to regional campaigns officers if there are very specific local things they could address, and also to support wider work the RNIB research and insight team do through things like focus groups and the tracker surveys, which some of your listeners might have taken part in. And yes, as you say, my nomination stemmed from taking that learning that we have here in the RNIB over to the European Blind Union so that they could understand and listen more to their members in real time and see what they needed. So what's working well and could be replicated elsewhere, and just be more in touch with what mattered to those of us with low or no vision and how those things are impacting on our lives, and therefore understand where change was and is needed.
And I suppose it's really useful to not only have those tracker surveys that we do here at the RNIB, but also to look at what people are saying on social media through the Facebook groups, because that anecdotal information, as you've mentioned, is so important.
Absolutely. It's the ability to pick up the in-the-moment frustrations or positives that people are sharing that, you know, you'd never know if you only asked just tracker questions or invited people to specific focus groups. By just listening and understanding what's going on in people's lives in real time, you do get a better feeling for what it's like to be VI in today's world.
And what does it mean to you, Jane, personally, to have won this Top 20 Women in Data award and for also deafblind and other visually impaired women?
Well, got to be honest, on a personal level, it feels great to be different. So challenging and changing expectations. After the winner's ceremony, there were so many people from organisations who openly came up and admitted that they had no blind people of either gender that they knew of in their ranks. And they were both fascinated by the how I did things, but also sincerely apologetic that they were even asking that question. And just to be able to share the work that RNIB do at the Women in Data event, so explaining how the areas where data understanding like mine helps provide the right frontline support, how it gives training and development for smaller charities, and where data helps in the design and delivery of courses like Living Well with Sight Loss. And that course can be adjusted then to pick up on the learning from our VI community. And I think all of that is something really special. And so much of the corporate world just doesn't get how charities like RNIB do so much in the background, where our research and data analytics skills genuinely represent our community. So whether that's the good, the bad, or the ugly.
And what would be your advice to someone listening now who might be thinking of going down a career in coding and data as a deafblind or visually impaired person, but maybe thinking it could be a little bit too difficult for them because of their visual impairment, or maybe because of the attitude of employers?
Well, first of all, I would say don't panic. So the biggest problem that people come up with, and it stems very much from the VI experience of being educated in STEM subjects, so science, technology, et cetera, et cetera. You do not have to be a maths whiz. But you do need to learn the basics. So start with foundational skills in statistics, data analysis, and platforms like Excel, Python, or R, all of which can be accessed through different types of technology that all of us in the VI community use. Because understanding these basics will give you a strong foundation to build on. And it's also really important to get hands-on experience. So where you can, practice with real data sets and projects, either things that your workplace does or things that you can volunteer to get involved in. But most importantly, don't think that your visual impairment, at whatever level that is going to hold you back. Stay curious and keep learning, because the field of data is always evolving. If you stay updated with the latest tools and you make sure that you keep your assistive tech skills as sharp as they need to be, and you follow blogs, you attend webinars, you take online courses, There is so much out there. But what I would also stress is never be afraid to call out things that aren't accessible for you. Certainly in my experience, when I've done so, I've found people are really willing to make adjustments and learn how they should be doing things better to include us. And particularly things like joining webinars and following blogs will help you when you're networking, because that then links you to the right people, companies, charities, and organizations that in turn open doors to opportunities in the world of data. Once you can show them what you can do, you'll be surprised how supportive the world actually is out there. And just remember, the journey, as they say, is as important as the destination, because you should enjoy the process. If you're finding this is too stressful, really not what you expected, then maybe it's not for you. And you might want to look at something like people's behavior, linguistics, which can also be incorporated into understanding data. But whatever it is, you just need to keep pushing yourself and your boundaries and not taking no for an answer.
Well, some fantastic advice there. And thank you so much indeed, Jane, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio. Congratulations again on winning the Top 20 Women in Data Award. And also thank you for all the data crunching that you do here at the RNIB too.
Thank you, Toby. Trust me, it genuinely makes my days good days.